Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Profit Paradox: How Thriving Firms Threaten the Future of Work is an economics book by John Eekhout that examines the rise of market power in modern economies and its consequences for workers, consumers, and democratic institutions. Drawing on research in industrial organization, labor economics, and macroeconomics, Eekhout argues that many large firms have become highly productive while also becoming more able to set prices, suppress wages, and capture a disproportionate share of the gains from technological progress. The book is not a general history of capitalism or a textbook survey. It is a focused analysis of why profits have risen even as wage growth has stagnated in many sectors. Its purpose is to show that stronger technology does not automatically translate into broadly shared prosperity when competition weakens. The book also considers policy responses, making it relevant to readers interested in antitrust, labor markets, inequality, and the design of a healthier market economy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how market power turns technological progress into unequal gains. A central idea in the book is the profit paradox itself. Better technology can lower costs and improve efficiency, yet the benefits do not necessarily reach workers or consumers. Eekhout argues that when a small number of firms gain enough dominance, they can keep much of the productivity dividend as profit, instead of passing it through in the form of lower prices or higher wages. This helps explain why strong corporate earnings can coexist with stagnant pay and rising living costs. The book is careful not to claim that modern firms are less productive than earlier ones. On the contrary, many are more efficient than before. The issue is distribution. In competitive markets, cost savings should intensify rivalry and filter through the economy. In concentrated markets, the strongest firms can reduce prices just enough to deter rivals while still preserving large margins. That is why technological progress alone does not guarantee broad welfare gains if competition policy fails to keep pace with market concentration. Secondly, why superstar firms can be productive and still restrict economic opportunity, Eekhout does not present large firms as simply inefficient monopolies. Instead, he emphasizes that many are highly innovative, operationally sophisticated, and able to scale quickly. Their problem is not lack of productivity, but the ability to use scale, data, brand power, and network effects to make entry difficult for rivals. This distinction matters because it changes how one interprets success in the corporate sector. A firm can lower costs and still become a barrier to market entry if it can use those advantages to dominate distribution, hiring, and pricing. The book argues that such firms may also choose not to expand in ways that would create more jobs or more consumer choice, because doing so could require lower prices and thinner margins. In that sense, growth becomes constrained not by technical limits, but by strategic incentives. The result is an economy where the most successful firms are not always the ones that maximize social benefit, because private profit and competitive breadth no longer align as closely as they should. Thirdly, market power in labor markets and the suppression of wages. One of the book's most important contributions is its focus on labor markets, not just product markets. Eekhout explains that large employers can act as monopsonists, meaning they have enough labor market power to influence wages downward even when workers have limited alternatives. This helps explain why productivity gains do not automatically translate into higher pay. Workers may be more valuable to the firm than before, but if there are few comparable employers in a region or industry, bargaining power shifts away from labor. The book links this to broader trends such as wage stagnation, weakened mobility, and the concentration of opportunity in a small number of firms and places. This perspective is useful because it moves beyond the standard consumer-focused view of monopoly. The harm is not only that products cost more, it is also that workers face fewer outside options and less leverage when negotiating compensation, schedules, or working conditions. The labor market argument gives the book much of its practical force because it connects market structure directly to everyday work experience. Fourthly, the social and political spillovers of concentrated corporate power. Eekhout broadens the discussion beyond prices and wages by showing how market power can affect society more widely. The book argues that dominant firms do not just influence markets, they can also shape political incentives and public outcomes. When a small number of companies become extremely powerful, they may be able to lobby effectively, resist regulation, and delay reforms that would increase competition or address social harms. The book also links concentration to broader social trends such as declining mobility and rising inequality. In this view, market power is not an isolated business issue, but a structural force that can shape who gets ahead, where people can move, and how institutions respond to public problems. The significance of this argument is that it treats competition policy as part of a larger social framework rather than as a narrow antitrust debate. By placing corporate concentration alongside democratic accountability and social mobility, the book suggests that the costs of market power are cumulative and extend well beyond the balance sheet. Lastly, Policy Response's Antitrust, Mergers, and New Ideas for Competition Policy. The book does not stop at diagnosis. It also discusses ways to restore more competitive markets and distribute gains more widely. ECOUT supports stronger antitrust enforcement and a more serious reassessment of how mergers are reviewed, especially when consolidation creates durable market power without clear consumer benefits. He also suggests that intellectual property and data-related rules may need reform so that innovation does not automatically translate into permanent dominance. Some of the proposals discussed in the book are conventional within contemporary antitrust debates, while others are more novel, such as using post-merger penalties when promised efficiencies fail to materialize. The point is not that any single policy will solve the problem, but that competition policy must be more ambitious if markets are to work for workers as well as investors. This makes the book especially relevant for readers interested in policy design because it ties abstract debates about market structure to concrete institutional choices. Its policy chapter gives the book a pragmatic edge rather than leaving the argument at the level of critique alone. In conclusion, this book will be most valuable for readers who want to understand why modern capitalism can generate high corporate profits without broad wage growth or widely shared prosperity. Economists, policymakers, journalists, business readers, and general readers interested in inequality or antitrust will find it especially useful because it connects technical ideas to concrete outcomes in work, prices, and power. Its practical benefit is that it helps readers interpret familiar economic signals in a more structural way. Rising profits do not necessarily mean a healthy economy, and low prices, or fast innovation, do not necessarily mean strong competition. Intellectually, the book stands out because it combines current research with a clear, policy-relevant argument that market power is now central to understanding labor stagnation and concentration. Compared with many books on inequality, it is less focused on wealth distribution alone and more focused on the mechanisms by which firms shape markets. Compared with standard antitrust writing, it is broader in scope, linking product markets, labor markets, and democratic effects into one framework. That combination makes it a distinctive and timely contribution. If you would like to support Jan Ekout, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.